My message tonight is taken from the chapter that was read earlier on, and one verse in Matthew chapter 16, which is probably the most important verse in the whole of the Bible. Verse 26. Matthew 16:26. I want you to listen carefully to this. For what is a man? That man in the general sense. What is a person profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That one little word is mentioned twice in our verse, the soul, which according to the Bible is the most valuable thing in all the world. Now, I want you to use your imaginations and just for a moment consider what you would place the greatest value on. I don't know. Would it be a person? The Sunday Times, not that you should read it, but the Sunday Times publishes every year its rich list. Would you put the person on the top of that list? It's not Bill Gates, I know, but somebody like that who's worth billions of dollars, would you put him on the top of your list of what is most valuable? And would you think that if you had such riches, then you would have something that the rest of the world knows nothing of? But maybe you're on to something better than that, and you say that there are some things you cannot put value on them. That is, they are priceless. And so, maybe for you, it will be a little memento, a reminder from childhood or of a person who you have lost. And even though there's no material value to that thing, it's to you the most precious thing in all the world. And if it were to be stolen, you would give all your money in order to get that thing back. Now, I want you to think about something priceless tonight. You cannot measure the value of this thing, and that's your soul. What's the soul? Well, I've often reminded you, not that I was a biology teacher, but we do have in the Bible the instruction manual from the one who made us. And we are told that we are body and soul. The soul is the spirit part of me. Now, it's very interesting that the word in the Greek for soul, in the verse we're considering, is the same as the word for life in verse 27. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now, the soul, then, is the very center of the person. This is what life revolves around. Yes, you've got to be in the body in order to live in this world. But the body and other material things do not constitute life. It's the soul. Now, for that reason alone, the soul is of infinite value. You think of the needs of the body. I have an illness. It's got to be treated. But what about the needs of the soul? You have a disease, and something has to be done about it. But here, the Lord Jesus Christ is still thinking of something even bigger than that. Let me read what one person puts. It's so helpful. There is nothing that money can buy or man can give to be named in comparison to our souls. The world and all that it contains is temporal. It is all fading, perishing, and passing away. The soul is eternal. That one single word is the key to the whole question. Let it sink down deeply into our hearts. Are we wavering in our religion? Do we fear the cross? Does the way seem too narrow? Let our Master's words ring in our ears, and let us doubt no more. We're but here for a brief time. There is an eternity ahead of us. My body will go to the grave and rot, but my soul will go on forever. Now that's what Jesus Christ is impressing upon us here. What shall a person give in exchange for his soul, for this very center of his being, for this part which will last into eternity? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? The wealthiest nation in the world is of less value to God than one soul, because all that nation will one day crash. Empires rise and fall, but the soul of the poorest of people will be there forever. Now, we've all been shaken by the news of the death of this singer from Boyzone. Even if I can't remember his name, the fact that somebody has been taken in the prime of their life to face eternity, that's a sobering fact. And even when young people from our own fellowship are taken ill, it does bring it back home. Am I, in my soul, all right? Everything else may be going wrong, but can I say it is well with my soul? The value of a soul. And what Jesus Christ is talking about here is lost souls. We've heard about lost property. I don't know how much lost property we've got in the cupboard, but I'm looking at lost souls here tonight. I'm not going to be losing sleep over the fact that our secretary's umbrella might be thrown into the bin. But I am concerned if you're going to lose your soul. This is what we're about. Soul business. Rescuing souls. Winning them for heaven. Now, I'm still trying to understand my mobile phone. And there is something in the menu there, in the settings, called the default position. I pressed that button, and it went back to the factory settings. Defaults. Now, I still think some of you don't understand the default position when you come into this world. You have this view of life which says, I've got to do something terrible before I go to hell. As long as I keep to the straight and narrow, I'll come to church. I'll try and be a good person, not perfect, of course. Who is? I'm a sinner in that sense, but I'm not hell-deserving. I'll be all right. Maybe when things go wrong, I'll become more serious. But I'm all right. No, you're not. The default position is the broad road that leads to destruction. That's your default. You're lost. You need to be plucked out of that. What I'm saying is this. The soul is valuable because if nothing's happened to you, if you haven't known Christ, you're still lost. And now is the time to do something about it. This is why a Sunday evening service is so important. We're in this little world of time, and we're not going to be here for long, are we? I'm thinking of this meeting. But decisions can be taken here tonight that will affect your eternal destiny. Now then, eternity touches time. The value of a soul. Oh, I wish I could take some of you to see some of the Christians I've been privileged to sit alongside as they face death and are about to leave this world, just to see the peace in their souls. They know where they're going. They're not lost. They're safe in the arms of Jesus. And then I wish I could take you to the deathbed of an unbeliever. And I've seen people who have grabbed onto the bed, not wanting to leave this world, because they don't know what's going to happen to their souls. I read in the newspaper of this a young man from Boyzone, how they found him in a kneeling position on the sofa. You do not know what tomorrow may bring. The value of a soul. Do you see that? And then, something else that's valuable. Nothing costs nothing. You're instantly suspicious of something that's too good to be true. You know, there's something else valuable. Have you come across this hymn? Oh, teach me what it meaneth, that cross uplifted high, with one, the man of sorrows, what we were remembering this morning, condemned to bleed and die. Oh, teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole. And Saviour, Saviour, teach me the value of a soul. Salvation isn't cheap. You may not care for your soul tonight, but I'm telling you about a Saviour who went all the way for the sake of saving lost souls. Oh, I love to talk about him. Do you want to hear what one of the early preachers had to say? Listen to Peter. This is how he puts it. Ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. That's what unbelievers want. If they can have that, they're happy for a time. Their souls are not satisfied. Oh, you are not redeemed with such things, but with the precious blood of Christ. The cost of saving a soul. If you are the only person who needs to be saved, then God would still have done something about it. That's the amazing thing. Indeed, it is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be. But it's true that thou, my God, should send thy Son to die for a sinner like me. You know, all I'm doing in preaching the gospel to you tonight is witnessing to this Saviour. How far did he go? He left the courts of glory. He was the Son of God. co-equal with the Father, very God of very God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he came down into this world, and he humiliated himself by becoming a man. C.S. Lewis said that for the Son of God to be clothed in flesh is like one of us becoming a slug. And even that isn't a sufficient illustration of the depth of Christ's humiliation. And he wasn't born in a palace. He lived with ordinary people, and he grew up, and he had all the problems that you are going through at the moment. And most important of all, he set his face as a flint to go to one place, Jerusalem. And in that place, as he reminded his disciples in the reading, he went to die. And on that cross, he did what was needed to save souls. He shed his blood. He took the anger of his Father for your sin and mine upon himself, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be freed and go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. The value, not just of a soul, but of God's solution. You read, don't you, in the papers? You probably think that's all I'm doing is reading the papers. Don't worry, I only skim read them. A.W. Tozer used to say that you should only read the papers standing up. You should read the Bible sitting down. It's worth reading. That was an aside. And I've forgotten what I was going to say. But I will not forget Calvary. But we read, don't we, in the news of cures that are for the privileged few because they cost so much. Well, this cost an infinite amount. And the only one who could pay it was the Son of God. Have you seen him with the eye of faith? You're worried about your soul. I am. At this moment, I'm concerned about my destiny. Am I going to heaven? I don't see anything within that deserves that place. I see everything that makes me deserve hell. And I'm afraid that I will be lost for eternity. And then I go to Calvary and I see there my sin, no longer on my own back, but taken by Jesus Christ. And I see hell, but it's not me bearing it. It's the Son of God. And I hear the words, let them go, take me instead. And I know that I'm included. And you know, I feel a great burden fall off my back. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, and that I'm no longer condemned, that my soul is safe for eternity, and I've got a Savior to tell you about. And he is worth it. Teach me what it cost thee to make a sinner whole. Can I ask you, if you're under conviction, are you looking not just within, but without, gazing at God's solution? Yes, You're sinners. You don't know the half of it. But God loves sinners. And his love reaches deeper than self-despair. And then one more thing. Nothing costs nothing. The cost of following Christ. You see, some of you tonight know that your souls are in danger, and you know that God has provided, at great cost to himself, the answer in Christ becoming your substitute. But you still are not saved because you're trying to hold the world in one hand and Christ in another. What profiteth a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You can't have it both ways. John Bunyan, when he was converted, he heard this saying, which has spoken to me recently. It's in Old English, but it's very powerful. This is the choice. Wilt thou leave thy sins and go to heaven, or have thy sins and go to hell? Can I put it in plain English? Will you leave things that you know that are wrong and go to heaven? Or will you cling on to those things and lose your soul in hell? You see, it's your responsibility, the losing and the saving of your soul. It does not mean to say that you save yourself. No! God in Christ has done everything from beginning to end. But believing in Christ and turning away from the world and believing in the Savior of sinners is something you must do. Can I use this example? I'm sure our secretary will forgive me mentioning the lost property again. But if you need to reclaim lost property, you've got to go up to the relevant person and say that something has been lost. Or listen to the choice as it is put by Elijah. I feel very much like that prophet, you know. On Mount Carmel, when Elijah challenged the people, he had other religions in the majority. He and the few remaining followers of Jehovah were in a definite minority. And then there were the masses of the people, undecided, sitting on the fence. And this is how he put it to them. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the tragic thing is the response of the people. They answered him, not a word. Now then, can I put that choice before you? The world, on the one side, the pleasures of sin for a season, the things you know that are wrong, the other things that are harmless, but you know they're stopping you from following Christ. There's that in one category. And then in another, there's being saved, going to heaven, having difficulties in this life, a cross to carry, but it's worth it at the end. You've got to choose between one or the other. You can't have it both ways. Now, what I'm trying to impress upon your mind and heart is this. If the soul is the most important thing in the world, why are you still clinging on to those other things? Why don't you let them go? You know, some of you young people are afraid of losing friends. That's what it comes down to. That's what's stopping you from embracing the friend of sinners. You're afraid of what your schoolmates might say. You know, that can damn your soul. Because you're putting friends before Christ. Some of you more middle-aged people, you're putting the comforts of this life, respectability, what would they say? You're allowing those things to stop you from going to heaven. Let them go. Oh, when I was in university and when I saw the lethargy of some middle-aged Christians having settled down and lost their first love, I was determined not to follow that. There is a choice to be made. And it's the most important decision you will ever take. What are you going to do? It's your responsibility. The ball's in your courts. God is saying to you, I've done everything. I've provided a savior. I've given you an invitation. I've reasoned with you about the importance of these things. And there's one more thing I'm going to tell you. The soul is valuable. It cost God a great deal. Yes, it will mean sacrifice for you. But what is being offered tonight is free. Nothing. No price. So what's holding you back? The price has been paid. Yes, you must turn away from things. I know that's difficult. But if you pray to God for strength, He'll enable you. But Christ, oh, He's worth it. He's all the world and more. He will not just forgive you. He will guide you through this world. And He will be there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. When other comforters flee, He will be at your side. And when you come to leave this world, He will carry you over. And you will be with Him forever in eternity. Very well then. The cost. We're dealing with pricey things. Nothing's more important than your soul. Are you still lost property? Or are you going to go to the one that came to reclaim the lost? And He offers you a soul. It's salvation. If you but turn to Him, don't delay. You do not know what may happen tomorrow. You do not know what accident may befall you. You do not know what illness may strike you. You do not know the world may come to an end. But Christ's promise is as sure tonight as it was when He was here on earth. And I can witness with Paul, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep my soul, that which I've committed unto Him, against that day. May you be able to say the same thing. Now let's sing together 147.